This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're hanging out. Lake Lanier Islands, guys, is where we've been all afternoon. Margaritaville, Landshark Bar, and it's been a fun day out here. And we're going to be here until 6, so if you're headed this way or you're coming out, we'd love to see you guys. Mike, the big news today, and we're going to get more into this in about 15, 20 minutes from now, is that Micah Parsons has requested a trade from the Dallas Cowboys. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, understand there has been strife between Parsons, his agent, who's not been contacted by the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones. Last week we played those cuts for you, Mike, where Jerry was like, I don't want to pay him too soon. I don't want to give him a deal. So today, Parsons been at camp, but he requested officially a trade from the Cowboys, and the NFL world is buzzing.
Everybody who wants pass rush, you can never have enough, and some teams never have any like us. That's why we're hoping that's going to change with the addition of James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker, Leonard Floyd in the short term. But Carl and I said it. We'll get more in-depth in this later as our strong arm story. You're telling me you wouldn't be willing to trade one of the guys we drafted this year and a first-round pick to get Micah Parsons in here?
Done.
Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a potential comp to – yeah, please, don't get me excited. I'll give you a potential comp to what we might be looking at with the Parsons deal if this is going to happen. Meanwhile, Falcons did practice today, guys. We'll talk with Grant McCauley coming up in about 10 minutes about the Braves and the big game with the Reds. They lost today, but the game everybody's talking about is going to happen on Saturday. That's tomorrow. We'll get into that with him as well as the trade deadline results. Mike, James Pierce, let me ask you this. Isn't he doing exactly what he should be doing right now? And understand this. Jalen Walker's been dealing with his hamstring, right? That's finally been admitted. And Pierce is taking advantage of his time on the field. He's popping. He's flashing.
Yes.
And
yes.
So as much as we've been talking about him, part of it is, isn't he doing exactly what he should be doing?
Yes. I mean, would you rather us be saying he got completely stuffed and knocked on his butt? You know, like he hasn't had a sack. We've already seen, like, off the top of my head, on 11 on 11, three or four sacks from James Pierce Jr. He's been disruptive. He gets in there. He's been scuffling. Him and Bergeron, two guys that likes to scuffle. They likes to throw down. This guy's got the edge. It's everything. Even Coach Ra did this whole diatribe about, we needed an edge. We wanted some edge, some competitiveness.
We drafted it.
More energy, and we drafted it. And I know what I heard. We wanted some stone-cold killers.
Yes, that's what it is.
But I think this guy's got it, man. I think he's that dude.
I do, too. And look, what we're saying is he was a first-round pick. This is what he should be doing. He should look like a difference maker. He should. This team, the way they talked about him and what they wanted and why they drafted him, the why, we always talk about that, he is doing exactly what he should be doing. So I only say that to say when we talk about him, and we have, and we hope to continue to talk about him over the next few weeks at camp, into these preseason games, it's not that we're amazed, but almost the fact that it's rare that guys do exactly what they should be doing. Usually first-round draft picks, Mike, we're like, well, Jalen Walker's a prime example. He's not out there. We're not sure what's going on.
Right.
We're not sure what we have. We're talking about Pierce in a way that we should be talking about a first round.
You want impact. You want your local sports guys who are at practice watching everything telling you this guy's making things happen. You know, and that's it. I mean, period. The other guy, which I just off the top of my head, we were talking about it earlier. You know, there's a couple of players. I'm like, you know, I think you see it. I mean, I'd like to see more from Waters. I mean, from Watts, I should say.
Watts.
Xavier Watts.
Yes.
But who's it? Who's the kid from Oklahoma?
Bobby.
Billy Bowman. Thanks, sorry.
Billy Bowman.
Apologize, guys. I went brain dead on that one. Billy Bowman, I've seen in a lot. And it could be something as simple as in 7-on-7, winning every contested throw, you know, being out there, being in the mix, and also looking for some contact. That's why I said he. just the thing is, like, sort of, even though he was the lesser drafted over Xavier Watts, he might be the more, I don't know, like a Honey Badger type player, which would be great. But getting back to your questions about Pierce, he's doing everything you want to see. Jalen Walker, we know he can be that guy, but again, we can't tell you about him if we don't see him out there.
If we don't see him out there.
That's the only rub.
404-726-0929. You guys can chime in.
And Rook got in a fight yesterday.
I love it.
We talked about some of the things.
Did he beat somebody up?
And that's what I need, because Rook, I need him to be that dog. You got to be the. You got to play like you're the 35th best player, because that's where they drafted you a year ago. He got into it with a offensive lineman rookie named Michael Gonzalez. We talked about Pierce. Look, Pierce and McGarry. That's a scrap made in heaven. Those two alphas right there, and McGarry don't take no ish either.
Yeah, again. This is all good as long as it's getting our team better and getting guys prepared. But I just think sometimes things get heated and get testy. And so this is kind of what's happened. Meanwhile, Caden Ellis, Mike, is the NFL's most efficient pass rusher. Last season, he had 43 quarterback pressures on a career high, 147 pass rush snaps. We didn't realize that because, again, the defense at times didn't look great. But what we're telling you is Caden Ellis, guys, is one of the most efficient pass rushers, not only on this team, but around the NFL. 29.3% of that rate led the league. So he's a guy, again, when we talk about the edge, that's one thing. But if we're going to be blitzing and using him in the ways that they used him last year,
right,
what I think, again, is what Raw did at the end of the season, then he could be a big factor in this sack stuff that we're talking about, too.
And we mentioned Divine Diablo is bigger than he looked like when we saw for some of the
say
video.
Say it like with your chest, Mike.
Divine Diablo, the big zero. He ain't going to be a zero. He looks good. Now, again, I don't, like most Falcon fans, I never even heard of him. I didn't know who he was from the Raiders. But I tell you, he looks the part, and all of a sudden we've got some size and athleticism. And look, I've given up all hope that Troy Anderson will ever do anything again for this team. Just keeping it real. I hate that. Prove
when
me wrong.
Keeping it real goes wrong.
Well, guess what? Prove me wrong. Because every time I see Troy Anderson, what's he doing?
Nothing.
Off to the side.
Nothing.
Just, you know, in civvies. Not wearing pants.
He's not out there.
One thing I am interested in this year, and I asked you about this the other day at Hooters.
Yeah.
And we'll be back Monday and Tuesday.
It was hard to focus.
Georgia. No, but how do you want to see Coach Ra approach the preseason games? Because the reason I bring it up.
Starters play every snap.
Well, not all of that. That's crazy talk.
What?
Joe Person, our buddies up in Charlotte, says that Dave Canales, talking with Pete Carroll, said they're going to play starters the first two preseason games in Seattle. Canales thinks guys will benefit not from the reps, but getting into the regular season routine. So there's a guy who kicked our butt. Well, they outscored us. They beat us in overtime. But they're going to go with starters for the first two. I like that idea.
I do, too.
I don't like the way Ra handles his preseason.
I do, too.
I don't think we're ready to go in week one. And I'll say it to him next time I see him.
Yeah, look, I'm joking, guys. Of course, nobody is going to play the entire every snap.
No, but more than hear about this. If not what Canales and Pete Carroll are talking about, certainly, Carl, more than our baseline last year.
Here's the problem. I felt like we just weren't ready for that first game. You know what I mean? I mean, like, even the Steelers game, we're in it. I get it. We could have won, blah, blah, blah.
And the Steelers weren't blowing because they had their own issues.
They had their own issues. But I don't know, Mike. I want to feel more prepared than I have. And there is the balance. That is the balance of how many snaps is that for Bijan or for Michael Penix or for Drake?
Right.
It could all be different, right? Maybe Drake has had so many good practices where you feel comfortable and you don't have to run him out there. You know him and Penix are on the same page. Okay, get a series. You're good. For other guys, it should be 2, 3, 4 series.
Right, and I know that you will get, and we may not get to see everything, but the 2 days, is it 2 or 3 days? The Titans will be scrimmaging. Usually it's 2. But we'll have those scrimmages when the Titans are ready for us in 2 weeks' time. And sometimes coaches see they can evaluate through those moments in practice, which are real game-type scenarios. Okay, I can't believe a guy who's only started 3 games, he's only going to play 1 series in the preseason, if that's the case, for Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, man. Find us on social media, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929 as we broadcast live from Lake Lanier Islands, Margaritaville, Landshark Bar. That's an interesting thing that we're going to be talking about next week. Friday, by the way, first preseason game, as Mike mentioned, against the Lions. Speaking of that, real quick, I do want to touch on this. Coming up, we'll talk with Grant. Anybody on this Trey Lance thing, slow down, okay? He had a good game last night. It's the Hall of Fame game. But I thought Collinsworth, Mike, was going way overboard on how he looks amazing.
I mean, look at his pocket presence. And he's just – the ball comes out with such a zip.
It was ridiculous.
Look, here's the one thing. If you are the Chargers, you can showcase him in more preseason games and maybe trade him for something. You know, or you feel you got a strong backup for your boy. And last year at times, let's be honest, Justin Herbert wasn't 100%. So either way, you're in a great situation. You always want to have a sturdy backup. But if you feel going up against third and fourth string guys who won't even be playing in the NFL by this time next month, you have no idea what you're talking about. I can't imagine. Collinsworth knows better than that.
Oh, he was going off. You guys heard him last night. I had to turn the volume down.
He throws a nice ball. That's why teams were looking at him.
Well, he was like, "This is the Trey Lance we've been waiting on." You mean the last 4 years?
Really?
Since he got drafted?
The guy who played like 10 games in North Dakota, wherever the hell he was?
Yeah, Mike. I just thought it was overblown. And here's my thing. If you guys are like, "Man, he did look good." Okay, great. Last year, the Cowboys are in town. Dak Prescott gets hurt. You want to showcase Trey Lance? Mike McCarthy didn't do it.
No.
He didn't put him in the game.
No.
And we're like, oh, this is his opportunity.
Nope.
He didn't even play in Dallas. And then they let him walk for nothing.
Right.
So I want to temper that whole excitement thing about, man, I told you Trey Lance is going to be good. It's a preseason
It's
game.
A preseason
game. It's the Hall of Fame game.
A couple of years ago, you and I weren't working yet together, and we had some college, basically a guy from some small college, and he threw a touchdown pass against Miami. Like in the fourth week of the preseason.
Yes.
And we had guys thinking this guy should be right there battling with Matt Ryan. You know what I mean? I said, come on, man. Get some perspective.
Cooper Rush was in the game.
What was the guy's name?
Dominic Davis.
Yeah, Dominic. We had guys who thought he was a reincarnation of Mike Vick.
Yes. Cooper Rush was the Cowboys quarterback they put in. I can remember.
Get some perspective. Now, look, good for Trey Lance if he can find a way to reinvent himself or at least get some eyes on him where there's a market for him and maybe the Chargers do trade him. But, I mean, the guys he's going up against – half of those guys won't be playing.
Yeah. All right. With that said, we do have football back. And that was a Hall of Fame game last night. Coming up, Braves general manager spoke last night. What's Grant think about what he said? He talked about Acuna, not trading Ozuna, and more. We'll talk to Grant McCall.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Play next. Braves lose today to the Reds. The real story is what's going to happen tomorrow, which should be a pretty incredible sight to see. Mike's been talking about it. He's got a great post on Mike Bell ATL about some of the sight lines that have been, you know, people taking pictures of where their seats are. And it's one thing, Mike, it reminds me a little bit before we get to Grant, and I'll get his opinion on this, of going to Final Four games. And because Final Four, to get a Final Four, you have to have a Mercedes-Benz, okay? They used to play Final Fours in arenas, and then they changed the criteria. But if you've ever been and you're like, hey, I just want to be in the building, you're literally at the top of the building, and you can't see anything because they put the court halfway through the building, and then they curtain it off. And literally just to say, hey, I was there is cool, but you're not going to be able to see anything.
No, I remember when I moved to Atlanta, and they were finishing up what was at Phillips Arena, being up there at the Georgia Dome, and man, oh, man, it was a little bit better than it is for when you have the Final Fours. But those Final Fours in the stadiums, remember, you and I were working at the different radio stations. You were in Texas. We were up in Minneapolis for the Final Four. And you needed, like, a telescope.
Can't see anything.
To see the court. They've gotten a little bit better with it now, but I still hate I hate those sight lines. I'd love to see the big games played in arenas, but that's not the way it works.
I agree.
But for this, look, this is a spectacle. The Virginia Tech-Tennessee game was pretty amazing. This will look great. I presume if you are in the 100 section of the lower level, you're going to be able to see the field pretty well because it's such a steep bank in Bristol and you're right in the middle of it. So it'll be. I'm curious to see what it looks like if they have some of those in the seats angles, see what the fans are looking at.
Grant, what are your expectations? As Grant McCauley joins us, Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, what are your expectations for this game tomorrow?
Well, I certainly think it's going to be unique, but I think you're probably on the right track with the Final Four analogy of, it's cool to say you were there, but I don't think every seat that's going to be there is necessarily going to have the right sight lines for it. So with baseball, I think if you're close enough, you'll be able to kind of tell what's going on down there. But it might feel a little bit like maybe, I don't even know, you're going to be a lot further away than even the fans that are on the rooftops of those buildings at Wrigley Field just trying to peek over. And that obviously became big business for some of those buildings. And I think there's been a lot of fighting over that. But putting that aside, yeah, it's a unique situation, a unique opportunity to see a game in a very unorthodox place. Maybe this is like when they play hockey at Yankee Stadium. I don't know.
Grant, I've got a bunch of buddies. I worked in Bluefield, West Virginia, down in the Virginia Panhandle, and I've got some. I think these guys are all these hillbillies are already tailgating. And these are guys who, like so many folks, Grant, grew up with the Superstation and love the Braves, and that's their number one team. So it's kind of cool to split the difference between Cincinnati and the Braves. You think Strider's going to rise to the occasion?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and if you're the Braves at this point, given what we've seen this year, I mean, it's nice to at least have a marquee pitcher left to be able to throw in a game like this where you're in a huge stadium that could have, not even a stadium, you're in a huge racetrack, which could present, I believe, if I've read correctly, the largest single game attendance for a regular season game ever, or maybe a Major League Baseball game ever. I'm sure we'll get plenty of notes about that during the broadcast. But yeah, to have Spencer Strider available to you and lined up to start this game, I think that's kind of a plus for the Braves, and he has trended very well. After that five starts, they're coming off the injured list, and of course the false start of having to go back on with a hamstring issue, I think he's looked a lot more like Spencer Strider, and this last couple of months for him is going to continue to be important to really get himself as close to all the way back as he can be for a normal winter to come into 2026 and really, I think, dial it up again.
Grant, what did you take from Alex Anthopoulos' comments? He spoke after we spoke to you yesterday. Trade deadline came and went, and you came on in the 5 o'clock hour. I think he spoke at 6:30 yesterday. He addressed all the things that we wanted to hear, but what stood out to you? Because I think he even said, in his opinion, what he thought went wrong with this season.
Yeah, it was interesting in some regards, and in other regards, I know it was frustrating for everyone to be expecting something to happen and then nothing to wind up really taking place for the Braves. With the flurry of activity, I think the most trade deadline deals ever, not that we're necessarily tracking that, but clearly there was a lot going on. You know, with the Braves, I feel like they got into a place where they weren't just going to pay guys to go away and get negligible or no return. And I know that that may not be a popular thing to hear, kind of monitoring the market and looking at even some of the reports that have come out today. I mean, the Diamondbacks were reportedly disappointed with the market for Eugenio Suarez. And if that's the case, I can't imagine that the market for Marcell Ozuna was altogether that, you know, that inviting. Of course, you know, 24 hours ago we were talking about it, and I kind of was thinking, all right, well, these are veterans with longer track records. I know they're not necessarily having their best seasons, but somebody out there surely would be interested in adding some thump with Marcell Ozuna or a proven reliever like Raisel Iglesias, who maybe doesn't even have to close for you. But you could, right. I mean, you found a place to send Rafael Montero, for crying out loud. So you just kind of thought, to use my phrase, it was a fait accompli that these were going to be deals that happened. But you know, the Braves just did not get, I think, the bites on the line that they wanted. And once again, as we talked about, I know several times over the last couple of weeks leading up to this, they weren't ready to start ripping and tearing pieces off that they could use next year. Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee, Aaron Bummer, I mean, some of the other guys, because we saw the relievers were a huge market and a lot of nice returns, which, of course, are prospects for right now, so we'll see what they become. But there were a lot of those guys moved, so it was a little bit surprising and I guess, somewhat frustrating and baffling to see that there was just nothing that moved for the Braves at the deadline.
I know as Grant McCauley joins us, guys, we talked about the Padres were the team that was at least was linked to maybe having an interest in Ozuna. But as you mentioned, A.J. Preller, he's a wheeler dealer, and it's almost like he liquidated all his stock. I guess the only thing to say is, would it be worth, and this, I know this is a hypothetical, so bear with me, would it be worth just trying to get somebody else's trash and see if you could reclaim him, because you're not going to get anything when Ozuna walks after this season?
Yeah, I guess it could have, but I don't know that deal was really out there either. I mean, I'm sure, and we're going to see. I mean, like Marcus Stroman was released by the Yankees today because they made some trades in recent days. So there will be other pieces who are roster casualties. They may not all be, you know, name brand type players, but there will be some guys that are cut out there or simply thrown out there. And the Braves, I'm sure, were not interested with a pending free agent like Marcell Ozuna looking to take on somebody else's bad contract in exchange for him when they can just let Marcell get paid for the rest of the year and be out the door, and then they're, you know, free and clear on that deal. So there's a lot of different conversations I know that went on. And my question to Alex was more so, and this is what I asked him, was given what has happened this year and whether you made deals at the trade deadline or not, how important is this winter for him and his front office? And he said he looked at yesterday as they're already having the conversation. Their offseason started yesterday. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get all their shopping done in one day. I think I needed to put that important caveat out there on social media because People took that and ran with it, as I understand. And again, it was a frustrating and quiet day for the Braves, you know, faithful after a season of frustrations. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that I think can ultimately give you a road to perhaps a deal in the future. We saw this with Joe Jimenez, who the Braves went after at the trade deadline in 22. They didn't get him. They acquired him in December. May not be the biggest moves, but I do think that there was something to the conversations they had yesterday. But they need to have a lot of other conversations about roster construction, lineup construction, rotation construction, bullpen construction, the construction of the coaching staff, and everything else. I mean, the Braves are at a very critical point of needing to have a course correction, a revamp, in order to get themselves, with the talent they have on hand, heading in the right direction again, because 2025 was a huge step backwards.
It was. All right, Grant, how are you taking this game in tomorrow, by the way?
I'm going to take it in on the old TV. I would love to have made that trip and have gone up there and been one of the 75 or 80,000 people in the stands with sunscreen on and, you know, trying to shield my head from the sun, but just wasn't able to make it up there for that. But I am intrigued to see, you know, what this all looks like. Obviously, there's a lot of other promotional things that are you know, tied into this whole game. I think it's fun. I love going to the races here at Echo Park Speedway. So I know they're not going to be racing cars around while the game's going on.
Now,
but
that would be something.
I'm fascinated to see. Yeah, I mean, that would be – I mean, you got the planes flying over at Old Shea Stadium and I guess up at Citi Field, so could you deal with NASCARs going around?
Well, we used to joke around when NASCAR got boring at times, and I work for NASCAR.com, have a polka dot flag, Carl, call it the shenanigans lap.
Yeah, yeah.
And you release, like, live lions and giraffes on the track. Oh, have a moat to shake things up. By the way, Grant mentioned it, Pitbull and Tim McGraw are going to be performing. That's going to be the pregame concert, so we'll see where that goes. Hey, one last nugget, Grant. I know we kind of touched on this yesterday, but the idea that the Braves, you know, are going to be spending – offseason, do you feel that Alex would go to management and say, look, to the point you just brought up, there's some serious things we need to really address? Think we just have to grind for a couple more years? Because it's almost like you've signed off on players that just this year couldn't do their job.
Yeah, that is part of it. I mean, and that has to be part of the discussion. And when I say everything's on the table, I mean, you didn't get the years you needed to out of Michael Harris, Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley to a lesser extent, though.
Yeah, right.
With him, it's a little more nuanced. He struck out a lot more this year. The power production hasn't really been there. He's got a couple of months to maybe get it right. And that's something else Alex threw in when I asked him about this winter is, you know, we're going to continue to evaluate our players. What happens over the next couple of months could change the evaluations as they stand here today. But there's a lot to look at, and there's a lot to parse through. But really, I think, you know, the dialogue about the luxury tax this year has been interesting because, you know, the Braves, by staying under it this year, are able to reset that tax. Now, Alex has said, I don't know if it's on your show or somebody else is on the station, because he was on several times this year, that, hey, that wasn't what stopped us from spending. But at some point, I think you do have to go out and spend. And I know, Mike, you've been banging on this drum for a while. If you want to add to your rotation, if you want to add certain players, sometimes you're just going to have to do it in free agency. And those deals, sometimes they can go poorly. Sometimes they're exactly what you need. But you have to pay the market value more times than not in free agency to get the guys that you want, not just taking a chance on bounce-back candidates, which is also part of the roster calculus, but to actually go out there and pursue. So I'm fascinated to see what they do with it. I think they do need to spend. I think they have the money to spend. I think we understand that the Braves and the Battery and everything that's going on around there has been a very lucrative deal. And if you want to keep people pouring in there, I think you want to keep a good product on the field. And I know Alex is well aware of that and is going to do his level best to continue to find ways to do it. This was a season of challenges in a number of different ways, and perhaps they're going to be able to crack the code this winter because a lot's riding on it in my eyes.
Grant, great stuff. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the game tomorrow, as we all will, and we'll see what happens, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Catch you next week.
You got it.
Grant McCauley here on Sports Radio 92.9.
Like I said, I'm looking forward from a TV viewership point. It's a spectacle, but I will tell you this. I was mentioning to Grant during a conversation where I used to work up in, you know, Virginia, in the Virginia Panhandle, Roanoke, Shenandoah Valley. There's going to be thousands of those folks that maybe once in a while will come down to Atlanta, do a weekend at the Battery.
Four game.
Braves fans. So they're going bananas for this one. You can't get a hotel room up there in Johnson City and Bristol in that neck of the woods.
And I think, again, we take for granted, because it's been a long time, the impact, again, of the superstar station and how many Braves fans. That's why Atlanta, guys, is the team of the South. You know, despite the team being in Tampa and the Marlins coming along. Like, the Braves have been that team. So I'm with you, Mike. Hey, man, coming up, he wants a trade. Is there any way the Falcons could potentially make a deal if he truly wants out? We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.